so glad you're here. I know, but I felt like our last session was so helpful. I've been looking forward to it all. Exactly. It's like you know what I'm about to say. Anyway, my parents said that I should get a tutor. When my parents said that, I totally wasn't sure, but now I'm so glad I did. Come on up here. No, they're actually at our mountain place for the evening. I'm not sure when they'll be back. But don't worry, they left the check in the kitchen. Hey, it's been a long time since I've needed a babysitter. Just how old do you think I am? I'm gonna ignore that. Here, I've already got our stuff laid out. No, I actually haven't. I know, I'm terrible, but it just seems like every time I sit down and start reading about favorable outcomes, I immediately have this overwhelming, uncontrollable urge to check Snapchat. I know, I'm sorry. All this probability stuff is just brutal. I think we were talking about the difference in empirical and theoretical probabilities. Right. So you're saying if the event set is the total of all possible outcomes instead of. So actually, the event is the set of favorable outcomes and. I know. Okay, sorry. I'm putting my phone over here. I told you, I'm sorry. You have my full attention. Right. Okay, I think I get it. You want an example. Okay, so I guess you probability people are always talking about coins. You're saying that the empirical probability of a coin flip coming up heads after 100 flips is measured by the event, and the event is the total number of favorable outcomes in the sample space. So in real life, that can easily diverge from the. I know. Look, the truth is, I'm just not sure how much more of this I can take. No, that's not what I'm trying to tell you at all. I'm bored. You're boring me. No, in fact, I think it's you who isn't understanding. I'm just not sure how much more of this I can take. We're talking about coins and these fucking dice examples you keep trying to come up with to demonstrate just a brutal lack of understanding of your own subject matter. Like the fucking apple dropping example you came up with last time. No, trust me. I hear you when you trot out all about nonsense about empirical measurements being the basis of the scientific method and therefore the foundation of our knowledge about the world. It's just not interesting. It's like you picked up everything we knew about scientific thought until 1711, and then you were just like, okay, I'm good. No. I'm talking about Hume. The problem of induction, ring any bells? Really? Inductive reasoning? No? Oh my God, okay. So we know inductive reasoning is the idea that we can take a data set, a series of observations, and from that infer a new claim. Your example of the apple, it always falls toward the ground. Therefore, we know some underpinning natural law must be in place that governs its behavior. Because it's fucking wrong! Presupposing a future outcome based on an arbitrary number of observed outcomes is on its face incredibly facile. Because people have been coming up with counterexamples since the 18th century. Okay. Bertrand Russell. Tell me you've heard of Bertrand Russell. His livestock example is so widely disseminated that it feels a little like you had to be actively trying to avoid understanding this. But anyway, Russell gives the example of a group of livestock. From the moment they're born, a farmer comes out of the barn. He feeds them, he cleans them, he gives them medicine when they're sick. He does this not once, but many times. Every single day. It's a dream data set. It's an event with literally thousands of favorable outcomes, all leading inexplicably to one avoidable conclusion. That farmer loves those cows, would do anything for those cows, wants absolutely nothing but the best for every cow. And then one day, he loads them into the back of a very large truck, and those cows suddenly discover that they were so wrong about what was happening, that their oh-so-impressive data collection and their inductive reasoning based on thousands of empirical observations led them to a conclusion that was exactly, precisely, wrong. And now they're going to die horribly. No, that's why your fucking apple example is so dumb, because we're in the process of demonstrating that the doctrine of uniformity that we base all our ideas about the laws of nature on is deeply inadequate. That there are any number of cosmological phenomena that might cause the apple not to fall straight down. And it's at that moment when you may be finding yourself wishing you had paid a little more fucking attention. Why are you looking at me like that? Well, I'm sorry, but how long is a girl supposed to listen to a middle-aged, underemployed windbag be wrong about things before she starts to lose it? No, I'm not just ranting about philosophy. I'm just going to assume that you're not familiar with black swan theory. No, it's directly related, because it's the observation that when we have black swans, these extremely rare events have disproportionate impacts, typically disastrous ones, precisely because something that happens infrequently enough simply doesn't appear in your data set and is therefore scientifically incalculable, despite the fact that it's the most important factor of all. For example, Fukushima. What are the odds that a loss of power to a set of backup generators would coincide with an earthquake that would then create a tsunami which would then strike the precise part of the Japanese coastline that A, held a nuclear reactor, and B, had an antiquated early warning system that hadn't been updated due to a completely unrelated economic reality? The odds are really fucking small. Which is, of course, of no importance whatsoever, because really unlikely things happen absolutely constantly. And this one led to the deaths of a heretofore unknown number of people. Look, Mr. Coates, I'm not trying to be mean. I just think maybe it's time we move to the next stage in our relationship. No, silly. No, that's not what I mean. Tell you what, why don't you get out of your chair and kneel on the floor? Yep, right there. Good. Now just reach into your pants and take your dick in your hand. Ugh, you silly man. I'm not sure how well you thought you were doing, but I would describe your efforts not to stare at the insides of my thighs in this little dress as not very impressive. It's okay. Shh, it's okay. You're just not a real impressive man, are you? Come on. I can see how badly you want to touch it. Mr. Coates, you're kneeling on a hardwood floor under a table in our billiard room. How many ways do you think this is going to go from here? There you go. Good boy. Ew, no, wait. Don't take it out. I don't want to see it. I'm worried that might make me sad. No, just keep your hands inside. Good! You're doing so good. No, I told my parents I wanted a tutor, not that I needed one. And now I have one, don't I? Are you mine, Mr. Coates? Tell you what, why don't you scoot over here and, yeah, just put your chin on the seat of my chair, right between my knees, like that. Good. Oh, Mr. Coates, you like that. You like it so much. Oh, honey, I know you're married. You're wearing a shirt and pants that can't be less than 5 years old, and you needed a haircut a month before we met the first time. You stopped trying to impress the ladies a long time ago. That and You're wearing a fucking wedding ring. It's almost like I'm not a fucking idiot. Shh, no worrying about that now. Breathe in. Can you smell that? All this talk about your wife is getting my pussy all wet. Oh, Mr. Coates, you really know how to get my pussy so turned on. Tell me, do you have any kids? A son! How old? Come on, silly, you can tell me! What, are you worried I might bring your son over and make you watch me fuck him in the corner? No, you hadn't considered that? You're probably right. I mean, how messed up could I really be? Oh, this is all too much. I just need to touch. Don't get all excited now. I'm not going to show you. I'm just going to reach down in and... Whew, no, no, don't move your head. Stay still. Fuck, fucking fuck. Oh, can you believe I was willing to put up with that? More than 80 minutes of your inane bullshit before we got to this part? Oh, but it feels so good. It was almost worth it. You should come too, Mr. Coates. I want you to. You're jacking your cock with your face inches away from the wettest, sweetest little pussy you've ever imagined. Of course I expect you to come. No, damn it! I told you not to take it out. Jesus, it's like trying to housebreak a particularly dumb puppy. Just come in your pants. I want you to wear it around your wife tonight at dinner. No, I'm not going to blackmail you. I'm going to do nothing at all, and you're going to do exactly as I say from now on. Because if you're obedient enough, Mr. Coates, I might actually let you look at it. Do you think I shave it? Or do you think that I leave a few wispy little blonde hairs? What do you think it might take for me to let you put your tongue on it? Is that something you'd like to experience at some point before you die? That's it. Come with me. Just close your eyes and breathe in. Spunk in your fucking pants. Now, now, damn it. So listen, there's this guy, Dr. Baird. He's the chair of the theoretical cosmology over at the university. Guy's fucking brilliant. Anyway, my folks are out of town next Thursday, and I'm going to be entertaining him over here. I thought maybe if you wanted to come over and watch from the closet, think of it as auditing a class. Who knows what you might learn?